Let's pray together. God, we thank you this morning for your promises. We ask that you will continue to do what you've always done, and that is to make good on your promises. We pray that you will strengthen our faith this morning based on the testimony of eyewitnesses, of people who were there, who saw what happened. And so as we sit here thousands of years later, still looking into an empty tomb that has pretty much nothing in it, we pray that you will strengthen our faith even as we gather here this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 118, just the first part. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Anytime you experience disorientation, you long for reorientation. It's natural. It's part of life. If you've been sick, what's the first thing people ask you when they see you? Are you feeling better? If you've gone through a tragedy and you're trying to kind of get back to some sort of stasis, people ask you, with the best of intentions, are you starting to feel better? Are you starting to feel back to normal? How are things going? Because naturally, we want, after something happens, to get back to normal. It's the way we're built. How are you feeling? Feeling normal? Feeling better? Part of life. I know this morning that one of the things going through my mind is, for probably about half of the people here this morning, how you feeling right before 11 o'clock after a massive carb breakfast? Are you going to be able to make it through the sermon? Are you going to be able to survive? So I know better than to do long-winded preacher this morning, so hope you feel better. The story of the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate story of reorientation. It captures our hope in a way that really nothing else can, giving us this kind of ultimate hope against an ultimate enemy, especially with reminders like the hope that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, even death. And I think that on a Sunday like this morning, even in saying things like that, we want to believe, but it's also mixed with a whole lot of life experience that pushes doubt up against our belief. And I think that's only natural. I think sometimes for those of us who've been Christians for a while, whether you were born into this, you came to it as a teenager or late in life, there's a part of us that believes, especially on a morning like this, and then there's a part that has some doubt. And even though the history of the Christian tradition has done a pretty poor job of saying, it's okay on those days when you have trouble believing, I want to say this morning, even on Easter Sunday morning, that if you come here this morning with kind of a mixture of, I believe with full confidence, but an hour later, you're like, oh, I want to believe, this is the place where that's okay. This is a place where we have to be able to say that hope is a good thing, even during those times in our lives where we've said hope is not really worth it. So it's with both present confidence and with hope in the future that I think we can still come together and say this morning, Christ is risen. All right, thanks y'all. Hear the word of the Lord from Luke 24. Very early on the first day of the week at the early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified, bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. In returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11, to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Okay, try to put yourself in the shoes of the people walking through this scene. You expect to find a closed tomb. The tomb is open. You expect to find a body. You find no body. Except you have two men there, and that scares you. Until they inform you that the one you seek is alive, and then that probably scares you more. And then they remind you that he said this would happen. And then you remember. And now you're excited. Until you go tell everyone. And they call your story idle. And they don't believe you. But then there's that turning point in the story. There's that wonderful little turning point. Just a few words. And they're those kind of words in Scripture that are really easy to just sort of pass over, to read past. You just kind of get past them until you get onto the good stuff in the story. But then sometimes if you read slowly, you see, no, that really is the good stuff in the story because it's a major turning point. Then they remembered his words. Oh, that's just gold. Then they remembered his words. You ever had that sinking feeling of realizing you were supposed to realize something? If somebody tells you, "Did you catch that?" "No, didn't catch it." And they tell you again, you're like, "Why didn't I see that?" It's sort of this mixture of really excited, really confused, and wishing that you had seen it the first time. Welcome to the resurrection. That's what this is like. There's all this excitement, all this confusion, and why didn't I see this first? Why didn't I see this coming? Well, I'll tell you why you didn't see it coming, because none of the rest of us saw it coming. It's not natural. It's not something that makes any sense at all, and in fact, it's easier to pretend you don't realize or sometimes just flat out deny it when you do. That part can be easier. Did you hear this? Toward the end of the story, if then they remembered his words is the most exciting part of the story, here's the part that's the least exciting. But these words seem to them an idle tale. And they did not believe them. I have a bunch of friends who are burned out ex-Christians, lapsed Christians, agnostics, atheists. And matter of fact, the majority of my friends in those categories use those terms interchangeably. "Well, I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore. Well, I believe there's something out there, but I don't really know how to make sense of it. I don't believe in God at all." Okay. I think sometimes it's easier to just deny it or ignore it than to live by faith. I get that. I really do. I think sometimes it's easier because faith takes work. And sometimes it's easier to just not put in the work. Sometimes it's easier to just say, you know, this is an awful lot of effort. It's an awful lot of effort to have to believe in God when what I do is run to an empty tomb and I don't see anything. That sometimes makes it a lot harder to get through because, like Peter, I want to get up and run to the tomb and see for myself. Because if I have to take other people's words for it, and I've never been very good at that, and I don't think most of us are when it really comes down to something this big, it's hard to take someone else's word for it. So like Peter, I want to get up, I want to run to the tomb, and I want to go in and see for myself. But then you know what happens? We get in to the empty tomb, and we see the same thing that Peter saw. Did you hear that in the text? Did you hear what Peter saw? We take someone else's word for it. They tell us a story. The natural response is to say, that didn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Put yourself in the shoes of the women who had to go see it for themselves the first time. I went one time, long ago and far away, to pick up a little boy and a little girl from camp after not seeing them for a week. You ever been there as a parent? You hadn't seen your kids for a week and you go pick them up? Okay, not that big of a deal. You're looking forward to seeing them. You're excited to see them. So there's that. You get to camp. Let's just imagine this scenario. You get to camp after not seeing your children for a week. You're excited to see them. They're excited to see you, probably. You go to their cabin, look around, the counselor says, "Oh, she's not here." Now, how are you going to react? I don't know about you, but in that scenario, when I was playing it through my mind this week, kind of imagining that, I turned into Papa Bear in a New York minute. Just like that. What do you mean she's not here? Now, maybe there's a logical explanation for it in this hypothetical situation. But you tell me that she's not here, my first question right out of the bat is, where is she? So now you go with these women very early on the first day of the week, and these two glowing guys say, "He's not here." And the text very gently says they were terrified. Well, they don't make a Greek word strong enough for what they were probably really feeling on the inside. Whole lot of confusion, not knowing what to make of it. Can you believe this? And then your job now is to go tell the people who were closest to Jesus what's just happened. And then you know what happens? They don't believe him. So Peter goes, kind of like we're doing this morning, running to the empty tomb, and we peek inside. And guess what we see? Nothing. We see nothing. And that's where most of us live. Not on the beach, eating fish with a resurrected Jesus like some of the other stories tell, but rather as people who choose to live by faith in kind of this constant state of amazement. What'd you see this morning when you got up and ran to the empty tomb? You probably saw the same thing I saw. Nothing. And you're going to build an entire life on that? Yeah. Why? Because there were people who saw it for themselves, and the story just keeps on going. It doesn't ever die. Sometimes that amazement is awe, and sometimes that amazement is confusion. Sometimes that feeling of amazement leaves us with a sense of wonder. And sometimes that amazement only raises more questions. And that's okay. But on this morning, in what is really an empty tomb, the real work of this worship service is what's going to come later. What comes after? What comes later today and tomorrow and the next day and next Sunday? Because, you know, we're here this morning and it's a really kind of a nice Sunday morning and see people that haven't seen in a while. We see people that we love and they're strangers. And we're all here together kind of after the same thing. We believe, or we really want to believe, and anywhere else on that spectrum. Sometimes that amazement is awe. Sometimes that amazement is confusion. But all in all, let our amazement be alongside the resurrected Jesus who invites us on this constant journey, sometimes somewhere between dying to ourselves and living an eternal life with God. The story of the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate story of reorientation. It captures our hope in a way that nothing else can, giving us this ultimate hope against an ultimate enemy, especially with reminders like the hope that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, not even death. And I believe that this morning. But tomorrow is Monday, the day after Easter. And the next day is the day after Easter. And so what we hope on a morning like this morning is for echoes. Echoes that are going to carry forward from this moment when we proclaim the resurrected Jesus together. And that echo will reverberate into tomorrow, Tuesday, and in the days to come. I can't make any promises. I can't promise you that that will happen in your own life. But God has made a promise to be with us that we started talking about all the way at Advent. And the empty tomb this morning testifies to that same thing. That tomorrow and in the days to come, this sound will continue to reverberate even in our own lives. And it begins like this. Christ is risen.